Time it is, we can let down our hair, the moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back down a shot of Devil's Cut and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the river Styx.
Abandon all hope. Daddy going to give you something to drink now. A little Devil's Cut for you, my dear.
Yeah, I'm in the studio with producer Hardwood Forrest Connor. We have investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. We have Kelly Griffin, soon to be Kelly Connor. Is that right?
That's right.
Kelly Connor. That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Kelly Connor. Aren't you happy that you're marrying a guy who has a name that fits well with your name? Not like my wife, Lauren Warren, right? That doesn't quite flow as well. It's memorable.
Lauren Warren flows very well.
You think so?
It does.
Lauren Warren.
I like that K sound, even though, you know, the second you see, but it's still strong.
That hard sound.
And I get to keep my Irish last name, too, so that's great.
You get to keep your
Irish last name.
So as in, you're keeping Griffin as well?
No.
So
Warren and Griffin are both Irish names.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, I guess they are. Griffin and Connor, how about that? So Forrest, you come from the land of the hardcore fighting Irish, is that right?
I do.
Yeah. You know, I've got some Scots-Irish there on my mother's side. My mom's maiden name was Brigman, and they were related to Dillinghams and Calloways and all good Scots-Irish stuff. And Shelley Wright, surely that's Irish, right?
I think there's some English in there. I'm a mutt, I'm pretty sure.
And, you know, it's funny because I've never been to Ireland, and people think of Irish as having red hair like you. But actually, I've heard from a lot of people who go there, you see more brunettes than anything. Have you heard that, Shelley Wright?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And, Shelley Wright, you've never been married.
No.
Asheville's most eligible bachelorette. And so you've always been Shelley Wright.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's a good last name.
Yeah,
are you related to the Wright brothers?
I think so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on now. I bet all Wrights say that, don't they? Who
Probably.
Doesn't want to be related to the guys who invented the airplane?
That's what I heard. But, you know, I'm not related to any Wrights around.
You should just start telling people that. Because we are in North Carolina. It's very believable. Even though they were from Ohio. Still, most people don't know the whole story of the Wright brothers. You know, C. Eric Scott is from Ohio, and apparently there's a little battle because, you know, the Ohioans want to claim the Wright brothers, and then North Carolina wants to claim them since they achieved their first flight here, and in fact, that's one of our state mottos, first in flight, right? So, but I guess the real Wright roots for Wright brothers probably are in Ohio, I would imagine, right?
Probably so.
Right. Have you ever seen A Clockwork Orange?
No.
So you don't know what that means, do you? Right?
No.
Okay.
Right.
Very confusing for people who haven't seen that movie. Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. How are things going in the coin business?
They're going very well.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
What's special there? I know you have some Valentine's stuff going on there, right?
Yes.
Right?
Probably. Right. We have lots of things going on. A lot of women come and buy their honeys coins for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hmm. Is there a favorite that most women choose?
Morgan Dollars.
Mm-hmm.
They love to buy them Morgan dollars.
Why do you think that is?
It's a beautiful coin. Mm-hmm. It's very classic. It's a silver dollar. It's old. It's just a beautiful design.
They're from the 1800s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when did they stop making them?
They stopped making the silver dollars in 1934, but that by that time they were peace dollars.
Well, the Morgan's last mint was 1921.
Yeah, it was. And it was a crossover year, the Morgan dollar and the peace dollar.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I can understand why that this is actually a really good time to go and buy some coins for a man.
Mm-hmm.
You get chocolate and roses for the ladies and coins for the men.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to do that, especially let's say there's in particular a woman listening, she wants to get her husband or her boyfriend or whatever a nice little stockpile of coins, but she doesn't know anything about the coin business. You will help her understand what her options are and sort of ease her through this experience.
Definitely.
How can people contact you?
Come and see me at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville, or call me up at 828-298-5402.
That's right. A direct line to Shelley Wright is, write this down, everybody, 828-298-5402. So, Shelley, do you have a lot of men popping in the store around Valentine's Day to hit on you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the worst lines that men try to use on you? Can you think of one?
I cannot think of one right now, but I do have a lot of people that stop in.
You ever have a guy walk in there and say, I've got a special gift for you, Shelley. I have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, but there's only one way to get it.
I have never heard that, but they would probably have to say that to my gun.
I'm going
to
anoint you with the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But, well, you know, that's what's happening in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
There is a pastor, and I'm going to be very careful how I read this story. There's a pastor in Brazil who's in trouble. He's 59, because apparently for years he has been telling women that his you-know-what...
is special.
Oh, yeah. It's mm-hmm. divine.
Uh-huh.
And that when he decides to give you the Holy Spirit, he delivers it with his holy scepter.
Wow.
Now, I wish that I could read some of the quotes from this story. I can't. I mean, I would. It's during a breaker at some point. I'll just show you some of the things that he's been telling women they have to do to get the Holy Spirit, and they fell for it. Many, many women over the years have, you know, they believed that if you want to be converted, if you want to be baptized, that, you know, there was only one way to receive this special gift.
That is so sad. That priest is so going to hell.
That's what you would think, right? Like, of all people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That, you know, if somebody's going to go to hell, you'd think it'd be a priest who's using that line on women.
Oh, yeah.
Kelly, can you think of a line that stands out in your mind that men have used on you over the years? Nothing come to mind? There have been so many, you just can't pick one, can you?
I'm just trying to think of other. Oh, Lord.
What line did Forrest here use on you?
It was always like they always tried to hook me, because I like cars. I'm really like tomboyish.
Uh-huh.
I drive a such and such Mustang or something, and I guess I thought I was just going to be blown away by that. And I was like, I used to have one, so I was like, okay.
Wow.
What lines did I use to get you?
Did you use?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did Forrest say, yeah, you want to ride my Mustang?
No, he just has this boyish demeanor.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's awesome. Forrest has a boyish demeanor. I never heard that term applied to Forrest Connor before. Boyish demeanor. Tell us more. What does that mean exactly? Boyish demeanor.
Do you like little boys?
Oh, come on.
No.
Now we're going too far.
I'm trying to think of just the way you ask things. Like, you can say...
Yeah?
Like, I like to say things at home to make his face turn red.
Oh, yeah?
It's really easy to say.
I think we're getting there a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, it is kind of cool. This is sort of a Valentine's edition of the show, and here we have a couple who are going to be married. Is it this year when you guys are going to do it, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah?
But he's not telling you when.
Well, Forrest knows that he has a fuzzy holes experience coming up at some point, and then he'll break the news.
He seems very innocent. Mm-hmm. He looks innocent.
I should clarify for people who are just tuning in. Fuzzy Holes is the name of a strip club that we talked about earlier in the show. So, see, if you tune in late, you miss a lot of the context here. Oh, okay, let's move on, shall we? Here's a story from the UK. Let's see here. Apparently in the UK, an airline captain is in trouble because this you know, he was a pilot, approached a woman who was traveling on his plane, and she was sitting right next to her husband, and he just decided to reach down and grope her bosom right there. Right there on the plane in front of the husband. And obviously, you know, this is not acceptable on an airplane. And so the airline has confirmed that this pilot was suspended, of course, accused of gross misconduct. And they ask him, you know, why did you do this? What made you think this was cool? And he said, well, I had a few whiskeys. Devil's cut once again, right? It's a devil's cut. But on the other hand, we're kind of used to being groped at the airport, aren't we? You know, that's not so shocking. You're teasing me, Forrest. We're not going out just yet. Well, you know, I have you ever gone to the airport and
yes.
and been groped?
No.
Have you, Shelley?
No.
Kelly?
Have you ever gone to the airport and been groped?
Yeah.
I can't say I have.
Well, you know what? I fly all the time, and, you know, I've been pulled aside, and they give you a little pat down here and there. But the only time I have been groped at an airport was coming back from London last year, and it was an Englishman.
Right on.
Suddenly I'm feeling like Andrew Jackson. Those damn limey English. He saw a good red-blooded American. And that Englishman, he pulled me aside. And you know what? We're going to take a break. when we come back, I'm going to tell you what that filthy Englishman did to me. It's the hour of the show when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial stuff, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this show is called Speaking of Strange.
The neighborhood was changing.
the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to hear the most outrageous and controversial news. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, because this is the hour of the show, the hour of Speaking of Strange, when we dig into that kind of material that you don't hear so much about in the mainstream news the rest of the week, and that's why we air this for you late at night. And in fact, even reading it late at night, I mean, there are things that we just can't put on the radio. And in fact, during the break, I actually showed Shelley the story, the first story that I read about the Brazilian pastor. And you can see why I had to dance around that one, Shelley.
Oh, yes.
It's very graphic.
Very graphic.
But I presume if you want to read that for yourself, Mr. Mobius probably has it posted on the Speaking of Strange Facebook page. So if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you can find the link to the Facebook, the Twitter, all that business, and just see that, you know, we don't make this stuff up. Speakingofstrange.com. There's also a live chat that takes place during the program, and you can share your thoughts with other high strangers around the globe. So anyway, the Englishman. And it wasn't Hugh Grant. Could have been, come to think of it. No, I was going through the airport. I was leaving Heathrow. And, you know, again, I travel all the time. Yes, they've scanned me. There's probably like a million pictures of my, you know, booty out there somewhere on a database system. That's fine. But this Englishman, he looks at me, and he just had that little sparkle, that little gleam in his eye. And he says, "Come here, mate." You know, when you're an American, a proud, patriotic American, and you fought the revolution, well, I didn't fight it, but, you know, our people fought the revolution. We fought the redcoats off, and now you're on their turf, and an Englishman looks at you and says, "Come here, mate." You're like, oh, no, he's going to make me pay. He's going to make me pay for Paul Revere and John Adams and
and Mel Gibson.
What? John Hancock. And so he pulls me aside, and he puts, you know, he's got rubber gloves on. Yeah, snap, snap. This Englishman knelt down and just attacked my junk, you know. I mean, he just dug right in there and just starts, you know, groping and tugging and, well, you know, basically this guy, he's going too far, in my opinion. But what am I going to do about it? I mean, I'm totally helpless. I don't want to cause a scene. You know, they'd be happy to drag my little American butt off and throw me in the slammer there. You know, 5 years later, I'm like Oliver Twist or something. I'm a little hungry kid.
Get your dog locked up abroad.
Yeah. You have to go. You just have to submit. And the craziest thing of all is, this guy, you know, again, he goes farther than anybody else has, farther and further. And finally, he says, he stands up and he goes, "Okay, cheers, mate."
Cheers?
He literally said, "Cheers, mate." And I said, "Cheers." And took my baggage and got out of that country. So that was my experience coming back to the States. You ever had anything like that happen to you, Forrest?
Not really.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that's necessary. Not at all. They could scan me and they could see. I didn't have anything illegal down there. Well, here's a story from the UK, though. And this kind of shows you how their mentality is still very different from ours. You know what, by the way, I get an email once in a while from this guy who listens to this show in England. And he was just so matter-of-fact. He said, "I love your show." He said, "Every Saturday I sit down, I pour a cold beer, and I smoke a big joint, and I just cry. I'm laughing so hard." Well, okay, in the UK, apparently, this is actually from around Scotland, they've been having a problem getting people to visit the libraries, which is understandable because now that the internet's out there, when's the last time you went to a library? You know, has it been a while? Yeah?
Yeah.
I went to a library like a week ago, but I'm special. Aren't you, Kelly? You're special, too.
I went in December.
Oh, did you? Okay. Now, sometimes you still have to go and dig into special collections. And well, anyway, most people, they're just not going to the library anymore. So this library in the UK decided they would help draw people in and get some publicity by hosting free pole dancing classes. And so all these women are showing up at the library, and they're, you know, they're getting down to their skivvies, and they are climbing up these poles and swirling and spinning around and whatnot. And guess what? More men are now coming to the library as well.
But are they reading anymore?
They're reading tattoos.
Uh-huh. They actually cracking open a book.
Man, you know, that's one of the cool things about being a guy. You never have that situation in your life when you have to ask yourself, do I want to pole dance, right? I mean, it's never crossed my mind that I'm going to jump up on a pole. Now, I have thought about sliding down a big fireman's pole like Batman and Robin, right? Have you ever done that, Forrest?
I have.
You've slid down a pole?
I have.
What pole did you slide on?
There's a local fire department where I grew up that we had like an Explorers Club meeting or something in there.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of the firehouse there.
Yeah.
We got the chance to slide down the.
And how'd you like that?
It was awesome.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. You know, somebody ought to create some kind of an attraction. They ought to make a pole that's just like a mile high. And they shoot you up to the top on an elevator, and you just jump on, you slide all the way down to Earth. What do you think about that, guys?
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Boy, maybe that's our key to riches. What do you think, Forrest? Can we make... You know, I've been wanting to break a world record for a long time. And I've just not known what to do. Maybe I should make the world's longest pole.
I like that better than the world's longest hot dog. Wasn't that one of your ideas?
Yeah, the world's longest hot dog, of course. You know, that's like a given.
Duh.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to encounter the world's longest hot dog? The problem with that, though, is if you make the longest hot dog in the world, you got to defend that thing. You got to have guards posted around it because... The poor and the hungry, they will find you, and they will fight you for that hot dog. Because that's what happened in, I think it was Iran or something like that. They were trying to break a record. They made the world's longest sandwich. And before the record folks could measure it and confirm it, all the hungry people just attacked this thing, and they started gobbling it up. So you got to have an army of people to protect that. How long do you think the world's longest hot dog would have to be?
I have no idea.
Yeah. And also, I wonder, does it qualify as the longest hot dog if you just have a bunch of hot dogs end to end, or do you really have to
have one casing?
One big, long hot dog. Would you guys be up for helping me make the biggest hot dog?
Sure.
That'd be a lot easier than the tallest pole, wouldn't it?
Really?
Yeah, but thing is, you'd have to have probably the world's longest hot dog bun, too.
Well, that two records then, boom, boom, right?
Yeah.
We break two records in one.
The world's longest wiener and the world's longest hot dog bun.
I like it. I think that's something I've said before, I would like to be associated with that. What's stopping us? I want Wright's Coin Shop to sponsor the world's longest wiener contest. Well, it's not even a contest. It's just a project.
Uh-huh.
You think that you could get your father to go for that?
I'm sure I could get him to go for most anything.
Okay, we're going to do it then. Wright's Coin Shop presents...
And they can make rounds, silver rounds, to commemorate it, too.
But I get the record, though. You get the publicity for your shop, but I want to hold the record for the world's longest hot dog.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Can we make this happen?
We can make this happen,
okay.
Eventually.
Well, we're going to take a break. I'm Joshua P. Warren. There's a lot more to come. This is the Dark 30 Hour. It's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. This is the hour of the show when you should, tune out if you are easily offended, if there are children nearby. We're talking about some of the more outrageous and extraordinary and sordid and seedy things, controversial stuff that happens in the news. And, before the break, We talked about making the world's longest hot dog. It's not the first time this has come up on the air.
Right.
But you know, Shelley Wright, the more I look into it, the more I'm thinking, I don't know if we can break that record. Because I looked into it, and not surprisingly, there's a little controversy. And I told you guys something during the break that isn't exactly accurate, because I told you that I saw, I'm looking at this Wikipedia page here, and there's a whole Wikipedia page about world's longest hot dog.
Because you can trust Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And it says that actually Sara Lee made the world's longest hot dog, almost 2,000 feet long, but Guinness World Records does not reflect this in any of their publications. And they say speculation surrounding the length is that although the dog was most likely continuous, the bun was not. So that's not really an official record. The official record holder was made by a company called Oshi of Paraguay. And that one was only 668 feet. That's a lot less than 2,000 feet.
We're in America. We got to get that record back in America.
Well, yeah. Didn't we kind of invent the hot dog here? Am I wrong about that? Well, I guess you could debate that like everything else. But it's like, apple pie, right?
Exactly.
It's an American thing. Hot dogs. So, but gosh, even that one, 668 feet. I don't know that betwixt Wright's Coin Shop and myself, we have the resources to make a hot dog longer than that. What do you think, Shelley Wright?
I don't know. We're going to have to research this.
Okay. Well, just keep thinking about it. We have to break some kind of a record. That's just something you got to do before you die. World's longest hot dog. That would be great, wouldn't it? And then we could feed people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody wins. I was talking about getting felt up at the airport. Here's a story from JFK. New York City woman busted at the airport wearing cocaine diapers. Cocaine diapers. She had 6.5 kilo of cocaine in diapers made of duct tape. And, of course, the drug-sniffing dogs, they started sniffing her out. And it says that it was, they noticed that there was a, quote, hard object near her buttocks, end quote, and she appeared to be very nervous. That's really stupid, isn't it?
Yes.
You don't want to pack anything down there when dogs are around.
No.
Here's another diaper story from Seattle, Washington. Drunken, diapered man pees all over patrol car. They say that this guy, okay, this is weird, but anyway, a guy urinated all over the back of a patrol car, leaving officers to deal with the mess. And afterward, they say that he was refusing to put his junk back where it belonged, so they had to restrain him and put a diaper on him because he said that he was just going to keep peeing on everybody. Wow, that's one way of dealing with the cops, huh? I'm just going to pee wherever I go. Okay, next story. Let's go to South Africa. This is weird. You know, necrophilia. Necrophilia is a strange subject, isn't it? The idea that people have this romantic attachment to the dead. We know about that guy in Florida who was so fascinated with his lover that he wired her corpse together and, dressed it up, put some perfume on it, kept her around for years, and was making sweet love to her.
He wasn't even a lover. He was just somebody. He admired her. He wanted to be with her.
And it's odd to think that, people go through these phases when their loved one, of course, dies, and suddenly it makes you wonder if they look at the dead person and they still have that feeling of romance because they are conditioned to see that person alive, right? Well, in Cape Town, South Africa, a grieving husband was horrified because apparently they were having the funeral and they, with all the typical stuff that happens at a funeral, and they opened the casket. He looks over and he's expecting to see, his wife. There's a total stranger inside. Different woman, not his wife, in the casket. Isn't that freaky?
Yeah.
Now, you might ask yourself, what does that have to do with necrophilia? Nothing. That's just where my twisted mind went. Point is, the guy was so shocked. He went to the funeral home. He says, "What's going on here? This is not my wife." At first, they didn't believe him. They thought he was just, maybe having some kind of break with reality, of course. But it turns out that it was true. They are not certain how this happened. They say that, there was apparently some kind of swap or some type of situation that arose in the preparation of the body. And they think now that they have found out why there was confusion, and they believe they've located the right woman. No follow-up there. Isn't that odd?
That is odd.
Yeah. Just prepare yourself for a dramatic moment, and boom, different person in there. South Africa. Here's a story from Ontario. The city of Owen Sound, which is in Ontario, had a problem recently with their website. Apparently, if you would go to the website, it would immediately redirect you to porn websites.
Funny that.
Yeah. So they say, we've had our IT people working on it. And they are blaming this on some kind of a virus, of course.
It never just sends you to PBS or anything.
That just infiltrated and, is redirecting people to hardcore porn. I bet more and more stuff like that will happen as time goes on, actually. It can't be that hard to infiltrate a website. Aurora, Colorado. Let's see. High school teacher, 23 years old, tweeted nude photos of herself, called her students gel bait, and talked about getting high and doing drugs at school. Okay. That's not so surprising, is it? They say that this woman, she posted these explicit photos online and had multiple cases in which they believe that she was smoking marijuana on school grounds. In one of her posts, she wrote three words, naked. Actually, you know what? I'm not even going to say that. If you hear me, you know, stammering around a little bit during the dark 30 hour, it's because I'm realizing I can't put this on the radio. Again, that's why you should go check these stories out on our Facebook page. There are nights when my job here is harder than others, and tonight has been a difficult night with some of these stories that are coming in. And it's weird when you're preparing for this hour, you read a story and you're like, oh, well, that's an obvious dark 30 story. We're going to put that in the pile. But when it actually comes down to the reality of sitting here in front of a microphone and knowing what comes out of my mouth is going to be broadcast to millions of people around the world, you just can't take that risk sometimes. So I will not go that far. But, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about before with teachers, you know. What's been going on with teachers lately? I don't know. I can't explain it. And I'm about to go to the story from Texas. And I know that we're coming up on a break here soon. And then I've got, you know, these two stories I've saved for the end. But let me tell you something that I find truly shocking. Tonight, we are in a different studio. You may have heard us allude to that earlier. And that's because, you know, sometimes there are scheduling conflicts here at the station. And we are in kind of like an alternative studio. Well, when we first got in here, I realized, oh, man, I don't have the Florida bell, you know, because I always ring this bell when there's a Florida story. And then I see there's not one story from Florida this week.
Weird.
Isn't that unbelievable? So what that tells me is that next week, oh, it's probably just going to explode. Something is building up down there. Something's going to discharge. And whenever it's quiet in Florida, you know a bunch of crazy stuff is about to hit the fan. But the last two stories I have for you, one is from Texas. The other is from Brazil. And the one from Texas, not surprisingly, and I don't know why this always pops up on this show, but this, yes, it involves a man and a horse. Of course, it's Texas, you know. But this one has a twist that I've just never heard or seen or read about. But the one I've saved for the end from Brazil, the last of the last, it's one of those, again, I got to be very careful. I'm not sure how to read this, but I'll do my best. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back.
Got all the girls and men like the hair. She's got the classy, oh, sexy fancy. She's heavenly, a treat for the eye and see. She's real, oh, she's sexy.
Minutes of tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and well, this is the hour of the show we call the Dark 30 Hour, and we read stories that are, as far as we can tell, legitimate news stories, but they are more outrageous and controversial, often sordid and seedy. That's why we save them for late at night. And it's not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So, you know, tune out if you are connected to that type of a situation. So I've saved a couple of stories here for the last two of the night. And again, you know, if you want more details, you can go to speakingofstrange.com and you can presumably find most, if not all, of these on the Facebook page there that Mobius does a good job of updating. So the first of these stories is from a town called El Campo in Texas. And, you know, we often, unfortunately, read stories about guys getting it on with horses, you know, which to me, that seems like a very dangerous thing to do. I mean, you know, when the guy was with the miniature donkey that we've talked about on the show before, I can understand it a little bit more, anything that's miniature, but apparently, this guy in Texas, was asking, you know, for his girlfriend to come over and visit him, and she wasn't available. And so he told her, half-jokingly, that he was going to go next door then and mess with the neighbor's horse. Well, it apparently wasn't half-joking. So anyway, he goes over there. We all know what he does to the horse, but here's what makes this story different than the average story about a guy and a horse. He was caught doing this. He was arrested, and of course, the cops get that moment that makes their whole job worthwhile. Why did you do this? And his answer was, and he was absolutely sincere, apparently, that he truly wanted to make a horse man baby. He believed that he would create this wonder of the natural world, horse man baby. I don't know what that would look like, if it would look like a centaur, or if it would just be a dude with hooves, or, you know, who knows what was going through this man's head. But apparently he believed that that was possible, that was biologically possible. He could make horseman baby. Well, fortunately, that's not possible, because I, from my history reading stories, we'd have a lot of horseman babies running around here. That's what I think would happen. So, okay, here's this very last story, and I've been trying to figure out how to read this story to you, and I realize that there is a part of this story that I just can't explicitly tell you. So use your imagination a little bit, fill in some blanks here. This is from Brazil. There's a man, it's Valentine's Day edition, right? When a man loves a woman, we know what happens, Forrest. That's how all the best stories begin, right? When a man loves a woman a whole lot. So this woman says to her husband, she wants him to come into the bedroom and be intimate with her. But not like the usual kind of intimate, like intimate, right? Because there are different levels of intimacy. So this right. is the intimate. So the man goes in there, and he is about to be intimate. And he realizes that there is a very weird foul odor. And it's so weird, in fact, that he says, I think you need to go to the hospital because something ain't right here, you know? And she says, oh, no, I'm fine. She's coming up with excuses and everything. Finally, he insists, and he takes her to the hospital, and they find out why that she had an unusual odor. Because she had placed poison all over that part of her body, and her intent was to kill him. And there's so many jokes I could make right now, but I'm not going to, because that's going to do it for this edition of the program. And I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Till next time, we'll be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter. And barring a ball game, tune in next week for a brand new one. You are commanded!